What I'm going to do is we're going to read God's Word together, and I'm going to share the introduction to what I feel God wanting me to say, and then we will complete it next week. How's that sound? So, where's Joyce? Joyce, you've got me on a timer. I've got 15 minutes. Okay? Awesome. Revelation chapter 2. And let me just begin with a story, a question. How many have ever heard the story of the farmer and his wife? Well, there are a lot of stories of the farmer and his wife. Let me tell you this one. Farmer and his wife were driving in their truck on their way to church. And this was before the days when you had bucket seats in the truck, Ted. It's before you had that console in the middle. It's before you had the computer up on the dash that you had to have an air pilot's license to drive. It was just a plain vinyl bench seat. And as they're on their way to church on that summer day, the wife reaches over, grabs the husband's hand, says, "Sweetheart, honey, do you remember the days when we would sit side by side in this truck and you would have your arm wrapped around me? And oh, it was so romantic, honey. Whatever happened to those days?" Her husband, chewing a piece of grass in his mouth, just simply looked at her driving and said, "I ain't moved." One of the saddest things in the world as a pastor is when someone comes into my office and laments that they've fallen out of love with their husband or wife. One of the hardest things is when a man comes into my office weeping, having come home from work that day and found a note on the kitchen table saying, "Honey, I'm sorry, I just don't love you anymore. I'm gone. I'm out of here. The relationship is over." Those are such hard situations to counsel and to pray into. And as hard as those situations are, one of the things that is even greater, as a greater burden to my heart, is when I see Christians and churches who have been known to be on fire for God. Their flame for the gospel, their flame for Jesus seems to have diminished. Oh, they're not going into vile sin. No, they're doing everything they know to do. They attend church. They go to prayer meeting. They sing all the songs. They serve in the local church. But there is something missing. And maybe that's some of you here today. You attend church. You serve in ministry. You attend prayer meeting, and on the outside, everything looks fine, but inside, your heart is as dry as a bone. There's no life. Your ministry is performed out of service, out of duty, or by rote. Your passion for God, for life, seems to be diminished. One author nails it on the head when he writes, "Nothing great is ever sustained in life without passion. Passion is what energizes life. Passion makes the impossible possible. Passion gives you a reason to get up in the morning and go, 'I'm going to do something with my life today.'" What happens when we lose our passion for life and for God? Well, without passion, life becomes boring. It becomes monotonous. It becomes routine. It becomes dull. Listen, God created us with emotions to have passion for life, to have passion for His life, and He wants us to live His passionate life. As we study Jesus' message to the church, we come to discover His priorities for the church. If we wish to be a healthy church, a church that makes an impact in Sydney, the peninsula, and the island, if we want to make an impact where we go to school, where we go to work, in our family, it's going to be when we discover or rediscover that passionate love, that first love for Jesus. And this is the very first priority that Jesus addresses in the church at Ephesus. Let's stand and read it together, and then we're going to pray. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, and you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favor. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. You may be seated. As Jesus looks upon the church at Ephesus, he says to them, I see you. I know you. You have everything in the right place. You're doing the right things. You're preaching the right things. You are everything a church of Christ should be, except for one thing. Jesus says, your love for me has burned out. And God wants us to be a church that reflects his priorities. And the very first priority we are to reflect is a first love passion for Jesus. Several years ago, Burt Bacharach, how many remember that name? Sadly, I'm old enough to know that name. But he wrote a song at the height of the Vietnam War, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. And if that word was true in the 60s and 70s, how much more is that message true today? But it's not a sentimental, gushy kind of love that just lets everything go. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a deep-seated love and passion for Christ, his word, and his mission. Because the world needs a passionate church in love with Jesus. The reason is a church that prioritizes a passionate love for Jesus will prioritize a passionate love for others. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you today. Lord, this is just a brief touch of what I believe you're wanting to say to the church today. But I pray, as we have already heard through the testimonies, Holy Spirit, you say in your word, he who has an ear, let him hear. Lord, we tune our ears to you today. Lord, we have heard you as we've worshiped you in song. We have heard you as we have shared in testimonies to your faithfulness, to your provision, to your healing. Lord, even to the little things. God, you care about all those little things. God, we hear you. And God, more than anything else, we want you to be glorified. God, I pray that you would begin by the Holy Spirit to plant in our hearts a hunger for you, a desire for you. Lord, renew that hunger and love for you, and God will give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Now there's